Well, Labor is throwing everything at pulling off a win on Saturday, with Anthony Albanese and key senior ministers blitzing 20 marginal seats over the next 2 days. Deputy Labor Leader Richard Marles joins us from Geelong. Good morning.
Good morning, PK. How are you?
Well, glad there's only two sleeps of this very long campaign. Labor has dubbed the next 48 hours the final sprint to a better future. You'll hit up 20 marginal seats across five states. Will this be enough to fend off a late swing to the coalition, which is showing up in the opinion polls?
Well, we're certainly taking nothing for granted, I can tell you that. And that's why we're going to be speaking to as many people as we possibly can through to the beginning of Saturday and indeed right through to the end of Saturday to let people know that if they want to change, if they want to get rid of Scott Morrison, if they want to elect a government which has a plan for a better future, well, then they need to go out and vote for that. And a vote for Anthony Albanese will be a vote for that. We'll be doing everything we can over... Well, really, the next 3 days, including Saturday, to make sure that that happens.
The targeted seats that you're going to are all Liberal. Does that mean that you don't see any need to sandbag any of your own electorates, seats like Parramatta and Gilmore and Corangamite that the Coalition has hoped to pick up now safe?
Well, we don't take anything for granted. And so, you know, we've been campaigning in seats that we hold and seats that the government holds. But we want to change the government. And that means that we need to be in government-held seats and get them to move. That's how ultimately we do change the government. And so we will be talking to as many people as possible in those seats over the coming 2 days to try and achieve that outcome. Because I think Australians do want to see a change. I think they are sick of Scott Morrison and they're sick of a proposition which is from the government, which is essentially offering nothing more than more of the same. And people want a plan for a better future, and we'll be making that argument over the next 2 days.
As we were discussing with Stuart Robert just then, cost of living is the defining issue of the campaign. It's true, isn't it, that real wages will continue to fall until inflation is back under control, regardless of who wins the election. Same with interest rates. They will continue to go up regardless of who is running the country.
Well, what you know with Labor is we will have a crack. You know, we will be arguing and doing everything we can to get wages going again.
Okay, but a crack isn't going to quite get it there, is it?
We'll be arguing for wages for those who are on the lowest paid, and we'll be doing that in wage cases. That's not what the government's doing, and Stuart Robert made that clear. You know, we think an extra dollar an hour for those on the minimum wage is fair enough. We will be making that argument. We will be trying to revitalise Australian industry. Now, right now, after 9 years of this government, Australia ranks dead last in the OECD in terms of manufacturing capability. And we've seen in my electorate, for example, the end of the car industry. You know, that sustained thousands of secure, well-paid jobs in the company alone, let alone the businesses which supported that. You know, across the country, we've seen so many of those good jobs gone. And that's why, ultimately, we've seen wages go backwards. And what underlies all of this, Patricia, is that over the last decade, we've seen absolutely insipid productivity growth. And that is actually the legacy of this government's
economic
management.
Sure, but what I'm trying to get to is that this is all it's the vibe of the thing, right? Yes, you'll advocate, but advocating doesn't deliver it. You don't set wages in this country. Aren't you taking the risk of over-promising and then the electorate still dealing with stagnating wages and rising interest rates will think, what?
It's not the vibe of it at all. I mean, when you look
but
at
you
previous...
You can't. You don't have a magic pen. You can't. I mean, that's the language of the Prime Minister. You can't raise wages.
It is indeed the language of the Prime Minister that he consistently cops out on this question and thinks that government has no power in this space at all, and it's just not right. I mean, if you look at previous Labor governments, we've got productivity growing, and that's the most fundamental thing you can do to see wages go in the right direction and to see prosperity go in the right direction. Now, we've got plans for that. You know, the National Reconstruction Fund is about revitalising Australian industry so that we can start making things in this country again and start building an economy which generates those secure, well-paid jobs. We're going to provide free TAFE in areas of skill shortage, and that's about giving people the skills that they need so that they can get well-paid jobs. That's absolutely a productivity measure.
Okay.
And we will be arguing, and we will be arguing in national wage cases for increases for those who are on the lowest wages. Now, all of those are firm, concrete policies which speak to the fact that what we're about is trying to get wages going again. What this government has been about throughout its life is to try and keep wages down. They have articulated that low wages is a design feature of the economy they have sought to build, and that is the one promise that they've actually executed. They have delivered low wages in this country.
Okay. A lot of the focus has been on the teal challenges in inner city seats, but won't the election be won and lost in the great sort of swathe of outer metropolitan seats where the cost of living pressures are most acute? Isn't that where the coalition is starting to make inroads?
Well, I think that the election, this election, I think is, you know, across a whole range of areas. But I absolutely agree that I think cost of living is the critical issue here. And what underpins the crunch that people are feeling in relation to the cost of living is that wages have flatlined over the course of this government. I mean, this government cannot escape from the fact that it is the longest period of wage stagnation since records have been kept. And what underpins that is that during the life of this government, productivity growth has been insipid. That is the real legacy of this government's economic management. And we would be very different to that. You know, Labor governments have been in the past and we will be in the future. And when you look at our policies, they are all directed to getting productivity going and to getting the economy growing again.
I don't mean to interrupt and rush you, but I ultimately have to just to get to all of these questions I have. And if you're just tuning in, the Deputy Leader of the Labor Party, Richard Marles, joins me. Labor will release its costings today. How are you going to sell bigger debt and deficit to voters?
Well, we will be releasing the costings, as you've said, later today. The fundamental point in relation to all of our expenditure has been the quality of it. We have policies and expenditure which underpins those policies, which are based on trying to promote economic growth and promote productivity in our economy. So, you know, I've talked about free TAFE, for example. Giving people the skills they need does help people get better jobs, but it's a real productivity measure in the economy.
So you're going to say we're going to take on more debt, but don't worry, the spending is going to be more valuable. Do you think people are going to buy it?
Well, the quality of the spending is everything. You look at making childcare more affordable. I mean, that will ease the cost of living. But what it also does is allow those who are the principal carers for kids, predominantly women, to get back into the workforce sooner. That really helps the participation rate, which again promotes economic growth. Now, you look at those policies compared with the way in which this government has governed. I mean, they spent billions of dollars ripping up a contract in respect of the biggest procurement in our history, which was our submarines. Billions of dollars ultimately spent on nothing. They rolled out an NBN using copper, technology really from the last century. And again, billions of dollars wasted. Sports rorts, we see millions of dollars wasted. Right. It is a wasteful government which has rorts riddled through their budget.
Okay, there's a report in The Australian today that you questioned the decision to scrap the French submarine deal in favour of nuclear subs in a classified briefing you were given the day before the AUKUS agreement was announced. Someone in the room says you uttered the words, "I don't support this decision. I think we should just stick with what we've got." Is that correct?
It's not correct, and I completely reject it. And I have publicly and privately supported AUKUS and indeed supported us procuring nuclear-powered submarines. But, you know, it's pretty extraordinary that the government is now leaking out of a classified briefing that says everything about the desperation of this government. But again, what people need to focus on here is the substance of this. The mismanagement of the procurement of our submarines, which is the most expensive procurement in Australia's history in any context, is the biggest bungling of a defence procurement in our country's history. Billions of dollars spent on precisely nothing.
Okay.
And the government has, in the last 10 years, has opened up a capability gap in respect of our submarines for 20 years and left the nation dangerously exposed.
Is your closeness to China or your alleged closeness to China that the Prime Minister has been trying to paint you as based on stories that have emerged during the campaign, the reason that they didn't want to brief Labor on the AUKUS deal earlier?
again, I think this is desperate and ridiculous. And all of this has been the government's attempt to distract from, you know, their own failings in relation to national security. I mentioned submarines, but obviously, you know, what we've seen in our region with the Solomons. I mean, that represents an enormous failure in our foreign policy, that a country which should be seeing Australia as its natural partner of choice finds itself doing the agreement that it's now doing with China. I mean, that really changes our national security framework. And what it speaks to is that this government simply hasn't done the work in the region. Now, it's embarrassed
okay,
about
but I'm
that.
Talking
it's
about
embarrassed you, about subs, and so it's trying to distract
talking
them.
About you and whether your closeness to China has been a problem for Labor.
I reject the assertion, firstly, and it's all got a bit silly when you look at, you know, what the government is trying to peddle out there. But all of that is about distracting from their own failures in national security. Okay. Yeah, they failed us in the region. They failed us on subs. Like when Labor bought the Marines to Darwin, they sold the Port of Darwin to China. That's the legacy of this government.
We've only got a minute for this, but I really need to ask. If Labor does win, Anthony Albanese and Penny Wong would immediately be sworn in so they could attend the Quad meeting in Japan. But the rest of the country wouldn't be, basically your front bench wouldn't be sorted out till later. So who would be left to run the country? Would it be you?
I think we're all getting ahead of ourselves in relation to that. Right now, our focus, going back to your very first question, is to win this election.
No, but that's not the question. The question is what would happen, because this is now 2 days away. is real, and we know that Anthony Albanese wants to make this trip. He says he's going with Penny Wong. Will you be acting Prime Minister? Is that the plan?
Well, all of that will be revealed in good time, but right now we're focused on winning the election.
You've talked about it. I know you have. Is that the plan, that you're acting Prime Minister, and have you all thought this through?
We are completely focused on speaking to every person we can between now and the close of polls on Saturday. What happens after then will be absolutely revealed to people.
So you can't confirm whether you'll be acting Prime Minister?
Right now, what I'm trying to confirm out there with the Australian voters is why they should be voting Labor.
All right, we're out of time. Richard Miles, thank you.
Stream any ABC radio station live and on the go. Discover new podcasts, music and audiobooks, all free on the ABC Listen app.